Urged by an unknown power, the young Roman, a moment ago so full of fire, quitted without an effort the virgin whose gentle accents had softened his heart, and before daybreak reached Urban, having found everything as Cecilia had predicted. He related to the pontiff his interview with his bride in the nuptial chamber, which at once explained his presence. The venerable old man, overjoyed at the glad tidings, fell upon his knees, and raising his hands to heaven, his eyes moistened with tears, exclaimed, "Lord Jesus Christ, author of chaste resolves, receive the fruit of thy divine seed thou hast sown in the heart of Cecilia. Good shepherd, Cecilia, thy servant, like an innocent lamb, has fulfilled the mission thou hast confided to her. In a moment she has transformed her husband from an impetuous lion into a gentle lamb. If Valerian did not already believe, he would not be here. O Lord, open the ear of his heart to thy words, that he may acknowledge thee, his creator, and that he may forever renounce the devil, his pomps, and his idols." Urban remained a long time in prayer. Valerian was deeply touched. Suddenly, a venerable old man, with garments white as snow, appeared before them, holding in his hand a book written in characters of gold. It was the great apostle of the Gentiles, Saint Paul, the second pillar of the Roman Church. At this imposing sight, Valerian, half dead with terror, fell prostrate upon the ground. The august old man kindly assisted him to rise, saying, "Read this book and believe. Thou wilt then be worthy of being purified, and of contemplating the angel whom Cecilia promised thou shouldest see." Valerian raised his eyes, and without pronouncing the words, commenced to read the following passage: "One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, Father of all, who is above all, and through all, and is in us all." When he had finished reading, the old man said to him, "Believest thou this?" Valerian energetically exclaimed, "There is nothing more true under heaven, nothing which should be more firmly believed." As he ceased speaking, the old man disappeared and left Valerian alone with the pontiff. Saint Urban at once conducted the young man to the fountain of salvation, and after admitting him to the most august mysteries of the faith of Christ, told him to return to his bride. Cecilia had conquered, and the first trophy of her victory was the heart of Valerian, offered to the Savior of mankind. During the absence of her husband, she had not left the nuptial chamber, still re-echoing with the sublime converse of the preceding night, and redolent with the celestial perfume of virginity. She had unceasingly prayed for the consummation of the great work. Her words had commenced, and she awaited with confidence the return of a husband who would henceforth be dearer to her than ever. Valerian, habited in the white garment of the neophytes, which he had just assumed, reached the door of the chamber, and glancing respectfully around the room, beheld Cecilia prostrate in prayer, and by her side the angel of the Lord, his face resplendent as lightning, his wings brilliant with the most gorgeous colors. The blessed spirit held in his hand two crowns interwoven with roses and lilies, one of which he placed upon the head of Cecilia, and the other upon that of Valerian, whilst with the musical accents of heaven he said, "Merit to preserve these crowns by the purity of your hearts and the sanctity of your bodies. I bring them fresh from the garden of heaven. These flowers will never fade, nor lose their celestial fragrance, but no one can see them who has not endeared himself to heaven, as you have done, by virginal purity. And now, Valerian, as a reward for thy acquiescence in the chaste desires of Cecilia, Christ, the Son of God, has sent me to thee to receive any request thou dost wish to make him." The young man, overcome with gratitude, threw himself at the feet of the divine messenger, and thus expressed his desire: "Nothing in life is more precious to me than the affection of my brother, and now that I am rescued from peril, it would be a bitter trial to leave this beloved brother exposed to danger. I will, therefore, reduce my request to one. I beseech Christ to deliver my brother, Tiburtius, as he has delivered me, and to perfect us both in the confession of his name." The angel, turning towards Valerian, his face radiant with that heavenly joy which the celestial spirits experience when a sinner is converted to God, replied, "Since thou hast asked a favor which Christ is much more eager to grant, and thou to desire it, thou shalt gain the heart of thy brother as Cecilia has won thine, and both shall receive the palm of martyrdom." As he concluded these words, the angel ascended to heaven, leaving Cecilia and her husband transported with happiness. Cecilia glorified the Master of Hearts, who had so brilliantly displayed the riches of his mercy. She trembled with joy, and seeing that Valerian's crown was, like her own, intertwined with roses and lilies, as a proof that he also would receive the honor of martyrdom. Tiburtius was to share the palm with his brother, but the happy prediction had not been extended to her. She was destined then to survive the brothers and assist them in their combat. Beyond this, the decrees of heaven had not been revealed. Valerian and Cecilia spent the ensuing hours in pious conversation, encouraging each other to merit the crowns which the angel had placed upon their brows. The neophyte, filled with the divine love which participation in the sacred mysteries had kindled in his heart, spoke with the fervor of a recent convert. Cecilia, initiated from her infancy in the doctrine of salvation, expressed herself with the experience and authority of a tried Christian. In the midst of this holy conversation, Tiburtius, impatient to see his brother, entered and interrupted a colloquy worthy of angels. Saluting Cecilia, the wife of his beloved brother, he respectfully approached and imprinted upon her forehead a fraternal kiss. But what was his surprise in perceiving the most delightful perfume issuing from her hair? "Cecilia," cried he, "whence comes this delicious odor of roses and lilies at this season of the year? Were I to hold in my hand a bouquet of the most fragrant flowers, thy perfume would not equal that which I now inhale. It is so marvelous that it seems to renew my whole being." "It is I, O Tiburtius," replied Valerian, "who has obtained for thee the favor of enjoying this sweet odor. And if thou wilt only believe, thou wilt also see the flowers whence it comes. Thou wilt then know him whose blood is crimson as roses, whose flesh is white as lilies. Cecilia and I wear crowns which thy eyes cannot yet behold. The flowers of which they are composed are brilliant as purple and spotless as snow." "Is this all a dream, Valerian? Or art thou speaking the truth?" cried Tiburtius. "Until now," replied Valerian, "our whole life has been a dream. At last we have discovered the truth, and there is no deceit in us. The gods we adored are but devils."
"How dost thou know this?" asked Tiburtius.
Valerian answered, "The angel of God instructed me, and thou canst also see this blessed spirit if thou wilt consent to be purified from the stain of idolatry."
"How long," demanded Tiburtius, "must I wait for this purification which will render me worthy of beholding the angel of God?"
"A very short time," replied Valerian. "Only swear to me that thou dost renounce the idols and acknowledge there is only one God who dwells in heaven."
"I cannot understand," cried Tiburtius. "Why dost thou exact of me this promise?"